cold and dirty and generally depressing. Do you find yourself depressed very often? Yeah. Sometimes I don't even want to get out of bed. Do you feel sad? Not really. Just heavy. Like I'm carrying around Mike Tyson's punching bag inside of me. Do you ever feel like you're out of touch with reality? Well, yeah, now that you mention it. Me and Keisha went for a long walk a couple of weeks ago. I have no wheels anymore, remember? We've been talking about Rob and the holidays and how his family must have felt. Have you talked to either of Rob's parents since that phone call you had from his mother on Christmas Day? Nah, man. I ain't got the nerve. I know they must hate me. Why would they want to talk to the person who killed their son? It might be worth a try. You were Rob's best friend, weren't you? Yeah. I guess. I bet they'd be glad to talk to you. Maybe. So go ahead. You were talking about the walk you took with Keisha? Yeah. We stopped at a freeway overpass, and we just stood there for a minute, watching the cars whiz under us. Their lights were on, and they came at us like bullets, it seemed. Too fast to count. I thought about the four of us the night of the accident on that same expressway, and I noticed that the retaining wall was really only about 4 feet high. Did you remember it differently? Yeah. That night it seemed like a mountain, and the longer I stood there, the more I became like sort of hypnotized by the slick whistling of the cars as they rushed beneath us, and I wanted to jump. Why do you think you felt like that? I don't know why. I just felt like I should be down there. Like if I were part of that fast-moving rush, I wouldn't feel anything anymore. And everything would be cool again. I think I even leaned over, really ready to join those bullet things down below. So what happened then? Keisha grabbed my jacket and screamed at me, "Andy Jackson, get your stupid butt away from that railing. Are you crazy?" It's like I sort of came to then, and I looked at her as if she was from another planet. I guess I was the one acting spacey, but she just told me to take her home. By the time we got to her house, it had started to snow, and we were both breathing normally again. Did she say anything else? No. I just looked at her and I said, like real soft and easy, "Thanks." Then I kissed her real lightly on the lips and went home. We never mentioned it again. And nothing like that ever happened again. Why did you say you felt like you should be down there with the cars? Did you feel like you wanted to die? Die? Yeah. No, I don't know. Why are you talking about dying? Have you ever thought about being dead, Andy? I used to. Right after the accident, I wanted to be dead. I wanted it to be me that was dead instead of Rob. I wanted the hurting to go away. What about now? Do you ever think about death? To tell you the truth, man, I think about it all the time. Does that frighten you? Yeah, sometimes. It seems like being dead is the only way I'll ever feel alive again. Does that make sense? Sure it does, Andy. You're hurting, and you can't find an escape from the pain, and you're frightened because the only way out seems to be something you can't even verbalize. Am I right? Yeah, man. You're the first person that will even talk about death to me. People are scared of it. And nobody, not even my friends and family, wants to talk about it. It's kind of a relief to bring it out finally. There's nothing wrong with thinking about or talking about death, Andy. And it's normal for your thoughts to center on this subject. After all, the death of a friend is a traumatic experience in itself.
So I ain't crazy?
Not even a little bit.
Suppose it's more than just thinking about death in general. Suppose I told you I sometimes think about killing myself.
I'd say I'm not surprised. Sometimes it's part of the guilt and grieving process. To consider suicide as an alternative to the pain. But the answer is life, Andy, not death. So then I tell you about the other alternatives to help eliminate the pain.
Like what?
Like talking to Rob's parents. Like writing a letter to Rob. Like talking to other kids who might consider drinking and driving. Do you think you can handle any of those?
Yeah, probably. Maybe. I don't really know.
And then I'd ask you to promise me that if you got so depressed that you didn't think you could handle the situation, you'd call me before you did anything to harm yourself. Could you promise that?
Yeah, I'd call you. But I ain't stupid, man. I might think about it. I might even threaten it. But I ain't hardly gonna kill myself. I ain't got the nerve.
That's good. Do you feel a little better now that we verbalized some things that you were unsure of or unwilling to talk about?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think if you wrote a letter to Rob or to his parents, it would help eliminate some of the pain?
I don't know. I never thought about it.
Why don't you try to write one of those letters and bring it next time that you come, okay?
Dang! Now I got homework from my shrink. I can't win.
Yes, you can, Andy. You're a winner all the way.
You really think so?
I know so. You remember now. You promised to call me if you need me. Any time of the day or night. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Peace, man.
Later.
Night and Dreams. Andy and Monty just before bedtime. January 14.
Hey, Andy. Would you turn my light back on?
Why, you scared of the dark, Monty?
No, I just want to be able to see stuff while I'm falling asleep.
How are you going to see stuff? Your eyes be closed.
Yeah, but if I have to open them real quick, like if it was a fire or a robber or a monster or something, I could see what I needed to see.
Okay, I'll leave the light on. You get to sleep now.
Andy?
What?
When you dream, do you dream in color or in black and white?
I don't know. I never thought about it. Where do you get these questions?
Hey, I'm 6 years old. I got a lot to learn.
You got that right.
So tell me, are dreams in color like on TV, or black and white like those old movies that Daddy likes to watch?
I guess dreams are in color. That makes sense, don't it?
Maybe black people dream in color and white people dream in black and white. That makes sense to me.
Seems to me that stuff that makes sense to you don't make much sense to nobody else in the world. Who knows? You may be right. Now go to sleep.
Andy?
What?
Do you ever have bad dreams?
Yeah, man. Sometimes. I guess everybody does at one time or another.
About monsters and robbers and stuff?
Nah, man, that's kiddie nightmares. I have grown-up nightmares about chemistry tests and dragon-breathing teachers and being caught in a rich white neighborhood after midnight.
That ain't scary.
It's scary if you're 17. Let's get some sleep now. You ask too many questions.
Are you gonna go to sleep now, too?
Yeah, in a little bit. I'm going to call Keisha and then I'll turn in. When
will Mama and Daddy be home?
I don't know. They went out to dinner. First time in a long time. They need to get out every once in a while.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not scared, though, because I got my light on and I got you in the next room.
Oh, wow. You got Andy the Mighty Protector.
Yeah, and if that don't work, I got my Teenage Warrior Space Soldier.
Do you sleep with that thing?
Yeah, why not?
You're too big to be sleeping with stuff like that.
I am not. If you slept with a Warrior Space Soldier, maybe you wouldn't have nightmares either.
I'll keep that in mind. Good night, little dude.
Good night, Andy.
Hello? May I speak to Keisha? Hi, Keisha. What you doing? Nothing much. Finishing up my homework and thinking about you. Oh, yeah? Good stuff? Yeah, mostly. Like what? Like how much fun you can be sometimes. Like how patient you are with Monty. Like how things brighten up when you're smiling. You ever think bad stuff about me? Sometimes. I mean, sometimes I worry about you. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I worry about myself. How come? Like, for instance, I look at Monty and his future looks so bright. He's cute and he's smart. He'll be a doctor or a lawyer someday. I can tell. But me? I don't see me being nothing in the future. You mean you see yourself as one of those street people with no place to go? No. I mean, I don't see myself at all. When I think about the future, all I see is a blank and darkness. That's depressing. What do you see for me in the future? You? You're gonna be the first black woman something or other. If there ain't one yet, you're gonna be it. You're crazy. And don't you see yourself with me as the husband, or maybe the secret lover of the first black woman something or other? No, I don't. I don't know where I'll be. But I'm not there with you. I'm not anywhere. Very strange, your visions of the future. What about the near future, like next Friday? That far, I can see. Do you see us getting together? I see us at a movie. I see us at Mickey D's for burgers. I see us making passionate love in the moonlight. I think your crystal ball is cracked, but 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Which 2 were right? Get off the phone, silly dude. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night, Keisha. You know, I like talking to you on the phone. Why? Because you don't make fun of me when I start talking off the wall stuff. And you listen to whatever foolishness I got to say. That's because I like you, Andy. And I care about you. You're something special, you know? That's what all the fellas say. Girl, get out of here. Talk to you tomorrow. Okay, Andy. Bye. You going to sleep now? Yeah. My head is on the pillow and I'm gonna fall asleep thinking about you. Then I guess you'll have sweet dreams. Good night. Night, Keisha.
Andy! 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 Why you sleeping in that soft warm bed with the fresh blue pillowcases? I'm cold, Andy. Can I borrow a blanket? Who's there? Who said that? It's me, brother. Your main man, Roberto. And yes, I'm cold, very cold. It's no fun being dead. I'm sorry, Rob. You know I didn't mean to hurt you. Understood, my man. But when you coming to keep me company? Me? We could play some one-on-one. You know I always could beat you. What are you talking about? You want me to be dead? Yeah, man. With you dead, it'll be live. Wait a minute. Does that make sense? None of this makes sense. What do you want, Robbie? I want you, Andy, you. Ain't no black folks in the part of heaven that I've been assigned to, and I'm bored. What?
Computer foul up.
Since my last name is Washington, they put me in the section with George and Martha. Nice folks, but boring? George never even heard of basketball, and Martha keeps asking why there ain't no slave quarters in heaven. So I spend most of my time, which by the way is an eternity, bringing them up to date on American history. And you know, I slept through most of Killian's class, so I'm running out of things to tell him. Rob, you driving me crazy. None of this makes any sense. I must be dreaming. Sure you dreaming. You know, if you had a teenage warrior space soldier with you, I couldn't be bothering you. They're pretty powerful, you know. You mean Monty was right? Sure. And tell him he's also right about dreams. It's true. Black folks do dream in color. Big dreams need technicolor. So when you coming? I can't, Rob. Please leave me alone. It's all your fault, you know. All your fault. You got the beer. You drove the car. You smashed into the wall. You killed me. And now you gotta come and keep me company. No, I swear I didn't mean to. It was an accident. A horrible, horrible accident. I'm waiting for you, Andy. I'm waiting. No, no, no. Get out of here. Leave me alone.
Andy, you okay?
What? What? What's the matter, Monty? Why are you in here?
You were screaming. Did you have a bad dream after all?
A bad dream? Yeah, I guess so. I'm okay now.
You want my teenage warrior space soldier? I got two. Rocket Man is the most powerful, but Astro Man has the most weapons.
Hey, just to make you happy, I'm going to take Rocket Man, okay? Now go back to bed. I'm sorry I woke you up.
Good night, Andy.
Good night, Monty. And thanks.
A letter of remembered joy. Andy's letter to Rob's parents. January 18th. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Washington, if I stood on my head and stripped butt naked in the middle of Fountain Square screaming I'm sorry as loud as I could, it still wouldn't be enough. How can you tell the parents of your best friend that you're sorry that you killed their son? There's no words to cover something that awful. I know you must hate me. I wish there was some way I could have traded places with him, you know? Like I should have died and Rob should be okay. I dreamed about Rob a couple of nights ago. It made me start to thinking about stuff we used to do together. So, instead of writing, I'm sorry about what happened, 6,000 times on a sheet of notebook paper, like the teachers used to make us do in elementary school when we were bad, I decided to write you this letter to help you remember the good stuff instead of the bad. I hope this gives you some comfort, and I hope one day you can start to forgive me. These are my memories of Rob. I remember spending the night at your house and staying up all night watching cable, eating the pizza that we ordered at 3 o'clock a.m. Going for ice cream after practice, even though you always said you weren't going to stop, but you always did. Playing basketball with a rolled up sock and a wastebasket in Rob's bedroom, ignoring you and laughing when you said to cut out all that noise. Finishing off 2 extra large boxes of Frosted Flakes with ease during those small after-school snacks. Riding in the back seat of your station wagon, all dressed up and nervous, the night me and Rob double-dated for the freshman dance, and you had to drive us because we didn't have our licenses yet. Sitting in your backyard in the summer, eating barbecue and listening to stories from Rob's grandpa about down home. Going to Kings Island with you on family discount day and riding the Beast 47 times in a row. Driving backward through the drive-thru at McDonald's and getting in trouble and having to call you, not for driving backward, but because we were so busy being silly, we forgot we didn't have enough money to pay for the hamburgers. Getting chicken pox, both of us, in the 8th grade, and staying at your house for a week because we couldn't go to school. Eating spaghetti at your house on Saturday night and having worm slurping contests to see who could suck the longest piece of spaghetti. Seeing you in the stands during all our basketball games, knowing that you'd always be there, and feeling good about that, even if we lost. Wishing that I could be a part of your family because you seemed to have something that my family didn't. These are some of the things I remember about you, your family, and Rob. I will always treasure those days, and I will never forgive myself for destroying something very special. I hope that someday you will be able to forgive me, but if not, I hope you will be able to remember without so much pain. Yours, Andy.
Out, out, brief candle. Macbeth lesson in English class. January 21st. All right, class. We've almost finished our study of Macbeth. We've watched Macbeth change from a noble, trusted, dedicated soldier, willing to sacrifice his life for king and country, to a wretched, depraved, corrupt murderer who no longer has feelings of guilt or morality. It's a fascinating study of the degeneration of the human spirit. Miss Blackwell? Does he die at the end? Well, Marcus, he's just about dead inside already. He's got one little spark left, his refusal to surrender to Macduff and the forces of good. But don't you think his death is inevitable, Marcus? Yeah, he deserves to die. He killed his best friend. He killed women and children. He killed the king. Yeah, I'd say my man deserves to die. Okay. What about his wife? Does she deserve to die too, Mary Alice? Well, it was originally her idea. If it hadn't been for her, Macbeth would never have killed the king in the first place. Women have that power over men, you know. Right, Keisha? Right on, girl. Now you're talking. Ooh, you wish. You living in la-la land, ladies. Okay, Gerald, that will be enough. Keisha and Mary Alice have a right to their opinions, too, you know. But Lady Macbeth, who seemed so strong at the beginning of the play, had a rather rapid mental deterioration. Remember, she was walking and talking in her sleep and washing her hands uncontrollably? She finally cannot stand the pressure of the guilt, and she kills herself. Kills herself? What a wimp. I'm disappointed. I thought she was pretty cool for a while there. Sorry, Keisha. She takes the coward's way out by committing suicide and leaves Macbeth to face the end alone. But you must remember that she was a murderer. I don't think Shakespeare meant for her to be a hero. That's where we'll start today, where Macbeth learns of his wife's death. Open to page 224, Act 5, Scene 5, Line 16. Anthony, would you read, please? The queen, my lord, is dead. She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. Creeps in this petty pace from day to day, to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Now, let's see what Shakespeare is talking about here. What is he saying about life, BJ? He says, life is short, and then you die. And on top of that, life don't really mean nothing anyway. But I think the only reason he was so depressed was because he had been the cause of so much death that he couldn't find nothing else good about living. That's a wonderful observation, BJ. See? Shakespeare isn't so bad. You're doing a great job of figuring out what's going on. Andy, what do you think about these lines? Andy? Where are you going? What's wrong? Someone go check on him, please. He seemed pretty upset. Keisha, Tyrone? Go out in the hall and make sure he's all right. Okay, class. Let's go on.
Bologna sandwiches and bad breath. Lunch and a visit to the counselor. February 4. Hey, BJ, what's up? What you got for lunch? Nothing much, Tyronio. Probably bologna again. I hate bologna sandwiches. Don't you make your own lunch? My mama told me a long time ago, Tyrone, if you want lunch, you better make it yourself, 'cause I got more important things to do. No, man, my mama loves me. She takes the time each morning to make me a nutritious, delicious luncheon. Yeah, bologna sandwiches. Hey, Andy, put your tray right here. You have to sit downwind of BJ. He's got bologna and mustard again. Where's Keisha? She went to the library to get a book for a report she's got to do. She'll be down in a minute. Tyrone, where's Rhonda? She's got a chemistry lab to finish. I do admire intelligent women. Say, Andy, remember when Rob was trying to go with that exchange student from Hong Kong because she was so good in math? Remember how she... Hey, leave Rob out of this. He's dead, okay? I get sick and tired of you two always talking about Rob, like you're trying to bring him back or something. What are you trying to do? Make sure I don't forget that I'm alive and he's dead? Okay, you made your point. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's still dead. Do you hear me? I'm out of here. Man, I don't know how to deal with this. It seems like he ought to be getting better, but he's getting worse. I still have bad dreams about that night, but I'm learning to live with it. Andy keeps freaking out. Yeah, BJ, I know where you're coming from. Maybe we should talk to his parents or something. No, man, that's like talking to this bologna sandwich. Wait a minute, I got an idea. Isn't old lady Thorne always saying stuff like we should come and talk to her in the counselor's office if we ever have a problem? Yeah, but I can't stand her. Me neither, but she's got to know somebody who can give Andy some help. That's her job, ain't it? You're right. Let's get over there before the bell rings.
I certainly am glad that you boys have come expressing your concern for your friend. What seems to be the problem? Well, Mrs. Thorne, Andy seems depressed all the time and gets mad at us for no reason. Sometimes he starts crying. A couple of weeks ago, he ran out of English class because we were reading a play about some dead white guy. It was Macbeth, stupid. Anyway, Andy only seems happy when he's with Keisha or when he's acting weird. And we didn't know who else to talk to. Now, it's perfectly understandable that Andrew is having a difficult time adjusting to Robert's death. That was a very traumatic experience, for all of you, I might add. His behavior is really not out of the ordinary. Anger, depression, even tears are all positive signs that he's in the process of working it out. If he didn't show any of these signs, then we'd be concerned. But it seems like he needs help or something. Well, I probably shouldn't tell you boys this, but he is getting some outside counseling. I tell you this in the strictest of confidences, because you seem to be so genuinely concerned. So you boys can relax and be assured that he's getting whatever help he needs. Well, thanks, Mrs. Thorne. Thank you, boys. Andrew should be proud to have such good friends.
If she had called me boy one more time, I was going to smack her. When you do, smack her in the mouth. Her breath be kicking.
Learning to Live. Andy's Final Visit with the Psychologist. February 5th. Well, Andy, it's been a few weeks since we've talked. How have you been?
Not bad. No real problems. I'm dealing with the situation.
That's good to know. I got the copy of the letter you wrote to Rob's parents. Thanks for sending it to me. That wasn't really necessary, you know.
Yeah, I know. But I wanted you to know I got my stuff together.
Did you send the letter to Mr. and Mrs. Washington?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't going to at first. I was scared that it would upset them. But I finally mailed it. I didn't have the nerve to give it to them in person.
Did they respond?
Yeah, it kind of surprised me. Rob's mom stopped by our house. She cried and she hugged me, and she said she'd treasure that letter forever. I never will figure out women.
What about Rob's dad?
She said he forgives me too, but he's having a harder time dealing with this. I can understand where he's coming from.
So what about you, Andy? Did it help you to write the letter?
Yeah, I guess. I'm sleeping better and I'm doing better in school.
No bad dreams?
No bad dreams. Honest.
Do you still blame yourself?
Yeah, I guess I always will. But I'm learning to live with it.
I think if you had said that you no longer felt guilty, I'd be worried. I see quite a bit of improvement in you, Andy. You have progressed from a state of wanting to die to the more positive outlook of learning to live. That's encouraging.
Do I have to keep coming here? I ain't nuts. I know what I'm doing. I got my act together. What you think?
I tell you what. I think we can cut these sessions to an as-needed basis. I want you to call me if your life starts to get unbalanced in any way, or if you have any problems whatsoever, and we'll see what we can do to get things straight. You call me anytime, night or day. You hear?
Yeah, I hear you. I'll call. I promise.
Thanks, man.
Later.
Peace, Andy.
The Importance of Friendship. Keisha's English Homework, February 6th. Keisha Montgomery, English Homework, February 6th, Personal Essay. Topic: The Importance of Friendship. Without friends, life would be boring, lonely, and meaningless. Nobody comes to high school for the teachers. Not really. We come to see our friends, to see what they're wearing, who they're going with, who they broke up with, and where they're going this weekend. In between that, we go to classes. Friends make life exciting. A phone call from a friend on a boring Friday night can bring a spark to an evening that would have been spent just watching TV. Going downtown alone is no fun. Going downtown with a friend can be an adventure. We sit on Fountain Square and laugh at uptight businessmen, all dressed alike in blue suits and red ties. Alone, it's just another boring trip with no one to talk to. With no friends to talk to or to go places with, life can be very lonely. It's sad to be alone, wanting to share your thoughts with a friend and having no one there. Except maybe your little brother or sister to be with. Sometimes I feel so alone, I just want to cry. That's why I'm thankful that I have a good friend like Rhonda, who always has a strong shoulder for me to cry on. When the bad times come, like when Robbie died, a friend is the most important thing in the world. Rhonda and I cried together, went to the funeral together, and tried to help the boys involved as much as we could. She and Tyrone are doing fine. I'm having a rough time with Andy. I think it's because he lost his best friend, and it's hard for him to get over the guilt and the pain. He once told me that his life had lost its meaning. Andy has many good friends who care about him. Even though nobody can take Robbie's place, all of us, as friends, can survive the situation.
Concern and denial. Phone call from Andy's teacher. February 10th. Hello, Mr. Jackson? This is Ms. Blackwell, Andy's English teacher. I'm calling because I'm concerned about Andy's performance and behavior in class.
I see. I appreciate your call. What seems to be the problem?
Well, academically, he's really slipping. He's missed 4 of the last 6 homework assignments. One of those was a major writing assignment, an essay on the importance of friendship. He's failed the last 2 quizzes, and we have a test coming up next week that I'm afraid he won't be ready for.
You know, Andy never has made the grades that my wife and I expected of him. Every year I get calls from his teachers saying he's not doing his homework and he's failing tests. He's too old for me to spank. What do I do?
I'm not sure what your course of action should be.
You know him better than I do. I only see him once a day for 50 minutes.
But surely some parental encouragement on your part would be helpful in reminding him that he's really only hurting himself. I believe that Andy has the ability. He just needs the desire to get it together. And as a black teacher, it really bothers me to see bright African-American young men like Andy waste their potential.
I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate your concern. Do you know some counselor there told him he'd never make it in pre-law?
I believe it. Of course, to be perfectly balanced, we have plenty of teachers and counselors who are fair and would bend over backward to help Andy. But lately, even his behavior has been working against him.
How do you mean?
Well, he's been doing a lot more acting out lately. He's always been a cheerful, good-natured kid, with very few inhibitions, which sometimes doesn't lead to the best classroom behavior, let's face it. That's teacher talk for. Andy will stand up on a table and sing God Bless America at the top of his lungs if he's giving a report on patriotism. The kids love it, and most of the times the teachers at least tolerate it. But lately, he's been doing mean, even dangerous things. For instance, last week he shot a bottle rocket out of a teacher's window, and yesterday he was sent out of my room for spitting on the floor. He was sent out of another class during a test. Andy ripped up a student's test paper and threw it in the trash before the student had even finished the test and turned it in. There seem to be more of these kinds of incidents lately. Not at all like the Andy we know and care about.
I heard about the bottle rocket incident, but the others are new to me. Couldn't it just be normal teenage stunts that we all do in high school?
Perhaps. But I see other things in his personality that concern me. When he's not causing noticeable disturbances, he's somewhat withdrawn. He stopped combing his hair, he slumps in his seat, and he keeps his head down on the desk unless I constantly remind him to sit up and pay attention. Is he getting enough sleep at night?
From what I observe, kids that age forget to comb their hair half the time anyway. And with all the new hairstyles that the kids are coming up with, there's no telling what he's planning to do with his hair next week. And as far as I know, he's getting plenty of sleep. He doesn't have an after-school job because of basketball. He's in his room most nights by 11 o'clock. And from what you say, he's not using a lot of his time to do homework, so that doesn't seem to be a problem. Besides, he never was a morning person. He doesn't really get moving until noon.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that I'm concerned. A couple of weeks ago, he ran out of the room in tears in the middle of a discussion about the suicide of Lady Macbeth. Let me ask you this, and please don't misunderstand my intentions or think I'm trying to intrude into the personal life of your family. But wasn't Andy seeing a counselor about possible problems that may have been caused by his involvement in that accident? Yes, he was initially. But the counselor has told me that he feels that Andy is adjusting quite well to the situation, and we will be discontinuing those sessions on a regular basis. I appreciate your efforts, but I feel that you might be overly concerned about a situation that is under control. I see. Well, thank you for your time. I hope Andy is able to get himself together and pass English this quarter. I'd hate to see him fail. I'll talk to him. You'll see an improvement. That's a promise.
Lions, Tigers, and Dinosaurs. Andy and Monty at home. February 20th. Hey, Monty, what's up? What you doing there, little brother? Hi, Andy. I'm coloring this picture for my teacher. It's real live homework, just like you do. Yeah, I wish mine was still that easy. Is that a poster for Brotherhood Week? Yep. It says, All for One and One for All. Hey, that's pretty good reading for a little dude. This is nothing. Last week, my teacher gave me a book with chapters in it. What you think of that? Chapters? I didn't know they put chapters in first grade books. You too heavy for me. How come all the people in your picture got yellow hair? 'Cause that's the prettiest color hair. These are special people in my picture, and I want them to look real nice, so they're gonna have yellow hair. You crazy, kid. What about this little girl here? She looks black to me. She's got fuzzy little braids and a real nice smile. Don't you have any brown crayons? Nope. She's gonna have fuzzy little yellow braids. Why don't you make her look like Keisha? She's got pretty brown skin and curly black hair. You like Keisha, don't you? She's okay. You the one that's crazy about Keisha, not me. I like girls with yellow hair. You're a hopeless little dude, Monty. Actually, I like coloring Africa pictures better than this kind of pictures, with no people in it. You know, lions and tigers and dinosaurs and stuff. Lions and tigers and dinosaurs? That's some combination. Yep, and giraffes and dragons, too. Hey, Andy, can I ask you something? Sure, kid. Lay it on me. Do tigers cry? I don't know, Monty. I never thought about it, but I don't think they do. Why do you ask? Well, I drew a picture last week at school, and the teacher wanted to know why I put tears on my tiger. I told her he was very sad. Like you get sometime. You're something else, little man. If you want to put tears on your tiger or dragons in your jungle, you tell your teacher that your big brother said it was just fine. Okay. Hey, Andy, can you take me to see that new dinosaur show at the museum? No, buddy, I can't. I can't drive, remember? Oh, did you forget how to drive? No, I'm not allowed to drive anymore. Why? Were you bad? Yes, Monty. I was bad. I was really, really bad. Now go wash your hands and get ready for dinner.
Hidden Opinions. Conversation between teachers. February 25th. How's that Andy Jackson doing in your class, Sheila? Well, he was no superstar to begin with. I guess now he's somewhere between failing miserably and squeaking by with mercy. He's not a bad kid. I understand he's pretty good in basketball. Maybe that will be his escape. That's what they all think, anyway. Does he seem like he's bouncing back from that accident he was in a few months back? Wasn't he in counseling for a while? Yes.
but I understand he's been dismissed by the psychiatrist as stable.
Stable? Look, I had Robbie Washington in my history class, and it still upsets me. That kid watched his best friend die. How could he be stable after only 3 months? You know what? Just between the two of us, I don't think that accident affected him that much. Black kids are tough. They see a lot in life that we never experience. For example, that kid, Gerald Nickleby, whose stepfather beats him up, everybody knows about it. The police arrest his dad every few months or so. They go to court, and Gerald ends up right back down there with the stepfather regaining custody. Like I said, they're tough. A white kid would have cracked under the pressure that Andy went through. But do you know what Andy does? He's always cracking jokes and making the other kids laugh. That young fool set off a bottle rocket from my window last month. The kids thought it was hilarious. They were all standing by the window cheering when I walked in. Yes, you may be right. I heard he was going to be the master of ceremonies for that awful talent show they have. There's no real talent. All they have is that loud, disgusting rap music. Remember last year? That sweet little Donna Corelli was booed off the stage when she tried to sing opera. Oh, don't get me started about rap music. Meaningless, mindless noise. Well, there's the bell. I'm giving my first bell a pop quiz. Don't forget the Human Relations Committee meeting tonight after school. Okay. See you then.
Needs and Worries. Keisha's Diary Entry. March 9th. March 9th. Dear Diary. Well, it's been 5 months today since me and Annie started going together. October 9th through March 9th. It's been the roughest 5 months of my life, with the accident and everything. But Andy is so sweet, and so cute, and so needing. It's like he really needs me to keep going. Sometimes it's nice, but I hate to say it. Sometimes it gets on my nerves a little. Like last week, he was over here and we were playing ping pong in the basement, and he just goes and sits down on the couch and puts his head on his lap. I said, "Hey, Andy, what you do? Swallow the ball?" But he didn't smile. He looked up at me, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "Sometimes it just gets to me, you know? I get tired of all this depressing stuff. I miss Robbie too, but Andy can't seem to get over it, and I'm the only one who knows it. He's got his parents, his teachers, even that stupid counselor at the outpatient psych center, fooled. They all say stuff like, 'Andy sure is adjusting well, because he's smiling and cheerful. He even volunteered to be the master of ceremonies at the talent show at school this month. And you ought to see him at practice, acting the fool up there on stage, rapping and dancing and grinning in the microphone. But I'm the one who has to listen to him when he calls me up just to ask, "What do you think it feels like to be dead?" Or, "Do you think Rob is cold tonight? It's so cold tonight." Or, "If I died, would you miss me?" I'd like to ease up on our relationship a little, but I don't know how without hurting him. Well, he needs me, and he has been through a lot. I'm sure not going to be the one to cause him any more pain. But it sure does seem like Rhonda and Tyrone are having more fun.
Do you? Rhonda's letter to Tyrone, passed to him during chemistry class. March 15th. Dear Tyrone, last night when you told me you loved me, did you really mean it? Because I love ice cream, and I love the Cincinnati Reds, and I even love my little sister. But the real kind of love scares me. I'm afraid that if I let myself love you, I might get hurt. I know that I love being with you, and I love the way you make me laugh. I love the way you're nice to my little sister, and the way you're respectful and polite to my father. I love the way you offer to help my mother with the dishes, and I love the way you look at me across the room in chemistry class. You make everything seem shiny and special. I've been to the zoo a million times, but when I went with you, it seemed exciting and fun. From counting mounds of elephant poop to watching the peacock spread his tail feathers. You made it wonderful. You have a way of making things that are ordinary seem really extraordinary. You make me feel like the most beautiful girl in the world. And you make me tingle when I'm near you. But I wasn't sure if what I was feeling was love or just happiness. So last night, when you told me that you loved me, I could hardly catch my breath. I couldn't say anything at first because the whole idea was so overwhelming. I think I love you too, Tyrone. So please don't get mad at me if I ask you just once more. When you told me you loved me last night, did you really, really mean it? Rhonda.
I do. Tyrone's letter to Rhonda passed to her during English class. March 15. Dear Rhonda. Yes. Tyrone.
Public pleasure, private pain. Talent show at school. March 30th.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 15th annual Hazelwood High School Talent Show. And I, Andrew Marvelous Jackson I, will be your magnificent master of ceremonies. We'll be rapping and scratching and bumping and jumping. We're gonna electrify your senses and bombard your brain with sounds that make you want to get down. So let's get busy.
Rhonda, come here. You want to see a striptease show from backstage? Stand here by the curtain so they can't see you from the audience.
Girl, Keisha, what are you talking about?
Look at Andy. Look what he's doing.
He's taking off his clothes?
No, he's just pretending. Wait a minute. He took off his shirt.
Everybody's dying laughing.
Oh, no, he wouldn't dare. He's unbuckling his belt.
This is too funny, Keisha. He's crazy.
Rhonda, look. Mrs. Jaws is starting down the aisle. I don't think she finds it very funny.
Andy! Oh, Thunder Jaws is heading your way.
Whew. He's putting his shirt back on. And the song is almost over. Does she go back to her roost?
Yeah, but she's got daggers in her eyes.
Rhonda, speaking of eyes, could you see Andy's face while he was dancing out there?
The lights made it hard to see, but yeah, I did notice that his face looked funny.
You know, with all that laughter and silliness out there, Andy wasn't smiling.
Shh, here he comes.
You're doing a great job out there, Andy. They love you.
That was so funny when you pretended to do that striptease in the background while Rashawn was singing Baby, Baby, Please.
Yeah. Is your group ready to sing, Keisha? If you'd spend more time getting yourself together and less time spying on me, this show could get over with by midnight. We ain't got all night, you know.
Hey, you don't have to talk to me like that. I was just trying to compliment your stupid behind.
What did I say? I just asked you if you were ready.
It was the way you said it.
Sometimes you get on my nerves, Keisha.
Me? You've got to be kidding.
Do you know what I put up with from you? If I hear one more sob story from you, I think I'll puke. So that's the way you feel about it. I thought you cared. I thought you were the only one in the world who really, really cared. I do care, Andy. It's just that sometimes it's just too much. Why don't you just go to hell? I believe that's what I'm getting out of. Goodbye, Andy. Wait a minute. You can't leave. What about your song? You sing it.
Private Payne. Andy and his mom at home. March 30th, 11 o'clock p.m. Andy, you're home early. How was the talent show? What do you care? You didn't bother to come. You know I've had a sinus headache, dear. Where's Keisha? I thought you two had planned to watch a movie on cable tonight. She went home. She had a headache. I guess it's something all women get. Well, fix yourself something to eat, and I'm going to turn in. I have a sorority meeting here tomorrow, so don't muss up the house. Yeah, whatever. Andy, is there anything wrong? You seem a little distracted tonight. No, Mom, I'm fine.